Young man right here's got a birthday tomorrow, y'all. Amen. Mr. Clark, isn't that a blessing? I want to tell him happy birthday on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. All right, he'll be 47 tomorrow. He'll be 78 tomorrow. Isn't that a blessing? What a blessing. Amen. Appreciate brother Clark and his wife and what he does for us here at the church. We're sending them our way. Lord, send you what you need, you know. Send you help. You got a heart to do something for him, he'll send you help. Don't forget now the food and stuff for the Clark family. If you hadn't got it, bring it tomorrow to the service. The service will be actually at 12 o'clock, and they'll be receiving friends at 11. I know it's a holiday, and I know you may have had plans, and we understand that. But if you can, get here. If you can't, get it here somehow or another. The Lord will bless you for it. Let's take our Bible just for a few minutes tonight. Turn to Luke chapter number 19. Luke chapter 19. Let's look at a little truth here in the Word of God. And we'll look here in Luke 19 at a little story here. I want to show you something here in the Bible. It won't take just a few minutes, and we'll go. Luke 19 and verse number 30. Luke number 19, verse number 30. He sent two of his disciples, and look what he said to them in verse 30, saying, "Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering you will find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him." He said, "Go get me that little colt and bring him to me." Verse 31, look at this. "And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him." The Lord hath need of him. I want to talk about that little truth for a minute. I want to talk about tonight, the Lord needs you. There is a sense, even in the Old Testament, and I preach and say that we need God, but God don't need us. That means He don't need our help to run the universe, keep the stars in place, to keep the sun hot, to make it night and day, to spin the world, to make the planets rotate. God don't need our help in that. But there is a biblical sense tonight in which God needs us. Like that song she was singing there a minute ago, "My hands were made to help my neighbor." You know how God helps people down here? With our hands. My eyes were made to read God's word. My feet were made to walk in His footsteps. My body was made to the temple of the Lord. The only hands He has here in this world is our hands. The only feet He has here in this world is our feet. God, the Holy Ghost, is real. Jesus in heaven, God's in heaven, but the Lord does not knock on doors and run a bus route. We do that. We are His hands. We are His feet. We are His body here on this earth. He don't put money in the offering plate. We do that. So in that sense tonight, God does need us. And God needs you. Some people have suicidal thoughts and get depressed and everything in the world because they think, Nobody needs me. Nobody cares about me. Nobody loves me. I just love people who felt like that at one time or another. That's not true. The Lord needs you. The Lord needs you. Now I want to say three things about that tonight. And the first thing I want to say is the Lord needs you to bring others to Him. You ever notice the first desire of a young Christian is to bring others to Jesus? One of the sure, absolute signs that you really got saved is when you get saved, the first thing you want to do is get somebody else to get saved. And most of the time, it's your family. It's your brothers and sisters, and that's the first thing you think of. How many of you remember here tonight, when you first got saved, it wasn't a day or two later, you immediately started thinking about your family. Raise your hand. See there? Almost everybody in here. It's automatic. That's one of the sure signs that I know I got saved. I immediately, my best friend, you know, I told my mom, she was the first person I told got saved. I told my best friend, or I guess you could say one of my best friends, sitting out the store the next evening. He pulled up in a little yellow Volkswagen and got out of it. He said, "Hey, boys, let's go play some ball." Me and my cousin sitting there said, "Can't." He said, "Why not?" I said, "We're going to church tonight." He said, "What?" I said, "Got saved last night." I wanted him to know. I want him to know. He came that night and got saved. Did you know the Lord needs you to bring others to Him? You know, God will do His part. God will convict. God will move. God will save souls. But He needs you and I to take a handful of tracks and go. You know, we had a good crowd. Went on bus route yesterday. And on June the 7th, we want everybody to go visiting that day. Everybody, if you can't go visit, stay home and get on the telephone and just call people all over the neighborhood and say, "We're having something special." I know some people did that one time. They got on the telephone and started right down the line. "We're having something special, Shining Light Baptist Church, Sunday morning. We'd love to have you." You know, like be a telemarketer for Jesus. Amen. I mean, I know them other ones. Boy, I hang up on them. You can do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord wants you to bring others to Him. I've always believed this, and I might be wrong sometime, but I've always believed if you try hard enough, there's somebody that you can get to come to church. I mean that. I mean, if you work and try hard enough, if you invite everybody you see and say, "Lord, I want you to come. I want you to be there so bad." We was out on bus route yesterday, visiting yesterday, and we saw a lady with two kids, tried to get her to come to church, and she was here this morning. She sat right back yonder with them two kids. Some of the other ladies was out yesterday. That lady I talked to, Sandy, she was here this morning and sit right back there just because somebody went to their house and knocked on their door. I'm telling you, people, you can't improve on that. You can't meet God. You teenagers, you want to do something for the Lord? Listen, you young people, ladies, you can't. I'm telling you, the Lord needs you. On the day of Pentecost, there was 120 people witnessing. Peter preached and 3,000 people got saved. Ain't nobody else going to get them. Ain't nobody else going to. One man said, "Oh, they'd have got saved anyway." They wouldn't have got saved on the day of Pentecost. Peter hadn't preached that sermon. They'd have died and went to hell. I'm telling you tonight, the Lord needs you and He needs me. You say, "Little old insignificant me." That's right. Ain't no such thing as an unneeded Christian. If God didn't have a need for you on this earth, He'd have took you on out of here. God needs you. The Lord needs you. The Lord needs you. Amen. You say, "Well, Brother Danny, I went one Saturday on bus route and I invited all kinds of people. Nobody got." Well, okay. I'll tell you one thing. The Lord will bless you for it. They say an average insurance salesman knocks on 45, talks to 45 people, and can only get 15 to listen. And out of those, he makes 2 sales. He has a full talk with 45 people to sell insurance to 2 of them. And that's pretty good odds. Did you know? I'll guarantee you, if you try to win 45 people the Lord, you can win 2. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Our problem is we just don't think the Lord needs us. We don't think the Lord needs you. He's got you where you work. He's got y'all in them schools. He's got you in that factory. He's got you in that trailer park. He's got you in them apartments. He's got you where He wants you, in your neighborhood. He's got you in your family. The Lord needs you. The Lord needs you. I know some people just don't realize that, but He does. But He does. But he does. Amen. The signs are everywhere. I announced on the radio, I've been making radio tapes some today this evening before I came to church and trying to get this message ready. And I made some radio programs for this week. And I put on there on my Morganton radio station this week that I'm going to be doing that video presentation on the signs of the times, on the Illuminati, on the hip-hop generation, getting ready for the Antichrist to come. And you know what? You know one of the main signs I showed in that video is all them weather, that weird weather, them tsunamis and earthquakes and all of that. Listen, there's signs everywhere, people. There's signs everywhere that Jesus is coming back. The signs are everywhere. We better, instead of bickering and fussing and arguing, we better get to work for God and bring them in, bring them in, bring them in, bring them in, and God will bless you for it. Amen? That's right, brother. God, the Lord wants you to bring others to Him. You've heard me tell that story before of R.A. Torrey. R.A. Torrey was a great soul winner back in the late 1800s. John R. Rice got his inspiration to be a soul winner from R.A. Torrey. And John R. Rice influenced literally millions of people to be saved. And R.A. Torrey was working, they said he was actually visiting in a restaurant. And he'd stand there at the restaurant. He'd be the type to stand out on the street corner and all these people crossing the street like that. And he'd just get out there and almost start crying. He'd say, "They're lost. They're lost. They're lost." What do you think of when you see all them people driving to work in the morning, school buses on? They're lost. They're lost. They're going to hell. They're going to burn without Jesus Christ. And buddy, I'll tell you, old Torrey said he went in a restaurant one day and the man came and waited on him, brought the food, to bring the food. And he said the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, "Witness to that man." And he said, "Lord, I don't want to witness. I mean, here he's busy and he's at work and it wouldn't be right for me." And man walked away. He said he come back, fill up their glass with tea or something. He said the Holy Spirit said, "Witness to that man." And he said, "But Lord, he's busy and that man's got a lot to do. And Lord, I just don't know, you know." And he said, "Man, come back in." The Holy Spirit said, "Witness to that man." And he didn't do it. Paid the bill. He said it bothered him all evening. He said, "Lord, I'll go back this evening at quitting time, and I promise you that I'll witness to that man." He went back in that evening. He said, "Where's the man that was waiting on the table today? I want to talk to him. I'm a preacher." And they said, "You don't know?" He said, "This afternoon, about 2 or 3 o'clock, that man had a lot of problems. He went into the restroom. He took a pistol. He blowed his brains out. That man, he's in eternity. He's gone." And R.A. Torrey said, he said, "God told me to witness to him." Now, I don't know who the Lord's dealing with you about. Maybe your neighbor. It may be, you listen to me. It may be your cousin. It may be somebody in your family. It may be somebody you work with and you just chickened out and chickened out and chickened out. I'm telling you, you better. There's going to be a wreath on the door one day. You're going to get that phone call. You're going to come into work and they're going to say, "Did you hear about what happened last night?" They're gone. And once they're in eternity, it's too late, people. It's too late. The Lord needs you to bring others to Him. Lord needs you. The Lord needs you. I want to say second, the Lord needs you as a worker in the church. I've been pastoring since I was 23 years old. There are three types of workers in a church. We have them here. Some churches don't even have these three. But it's always like this. You have three types. Some people never do anything. They'll come. They'll say, "I appreciate you. That was great preaching. I enjoyed it." And never do a thing. While the church is being mocked, Satanism, people are breaking in churches and writing Satan rules on the communion table, putting blood and guts on the altar, writing curse words all over the churches, robbing the people. There's churches all over the country now where people just come in, hold them at gunpoint, steal all the jewelry, steal all the money, right in the house of God. And some of them just come. This the average church has Z's coming out of the top of it, like they're asleep, absolutely asleep. The average church has no soul winning, has no bus routes, has no outreach. Just come and sit. And brother, I'm telling you, I talked to a preacher the other day. There was one of these preachers where he basically said this.
He basically said, look, I don't mess with none of the business in the church. I let the deacons run the church. I just show up and sort of preach and let them do whatever they want to. And you know what that man's doing? He's just giving a little speech on Sunday, waiting on a retirement check and just waiting on his money coming from the convention. Now, I'm going to tell you tonight, brother, that ain't the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be workers in the church. The day that I don't have a burden, the day that I don't care about the work of the church, the day that I'm not willing to put there everything I've got into the work of God is the day that I ain't fit to stand behind a sacred desk and proclaim this book. Brother, this is serious business. We ain't playing games. This is God's work. We're an army. We are soldiers in the army. The Lord needs you. Some never do anything. I mean, here's the picture of most churches. Here's the picture of most churches. The house is on fire, and they're sitting at the pool with their sunglasses on, looking at a magazine while the house burned out. That's the picture of most churches. I was preaching down in Shelby a couple of weeks ago. I stopped at some apartments, and all these drunks come out. I stopped to them two or three nights, and it broke my heart. There's just a bunch of drunks, about eight of them. And I lived in these apartments. I saw them all sitting out there, and I knew, I felt like the Lord turned my car in there, stopped, and I went out. I don't know if it was going to beat me up or what. I walked right up to them, and I said, "How y'all doing?" They thought I was a cop. And I said, "No, I'm a preacher." And one of them come out cussing. He said, "Hush, man, he's a preacher." And they come around me. They had these old wine bottles. I told them about it the other Wednesday night. And buddy, them old boys crowded around. And I said, "Listen, y'all." I said, "Listen, Jesus loves you." And one of them sort of scared me. He come over. He's about drunk. He put his arm around me like that. And he's a big old guy. And I was sitting there, and they was all crowded around me. He said, "Let me ask you something." I said, "Oh, Lord, but if he pulls out a knife, I'm just going to duck straight down and take off running." And he had his arm around me like that right there. Look down, and he said, "I got a little piece of paper." And I opened it. I said, "What to do to go to hell?" And I opened it up, and there wasn't nothing in there. And I said, "That's exactly right. You don't have to do nothing to go to hell. Just live, breathe, and die, and you'll go. But you got to get saved, go to heaven. You see, you're born headed toward hell, headed that way. You got to get saved, turn the other way to go to heaven." And brother, them people need. I felt so sorry for them guys, it broke my heart. I give them the preacher's phone number. I told the preacher, he said he'd go by, and one of them looked at me. I said, "Now, ain't none of us good. There's none good." He said, "Are you good?" And I said, "No, I ain't." He said, "Are you a false prophet?" I said, "I ain't no false prophet. I'm the real deal. I promise you, I am the real deal." I said, "I'm the real." He said, "Well, you ain't good." I said, "No, the only thing that's good is the Lord Jesus Christ." I said, "Boys, He loves you and He cares about you." Listen, there's people like that where you live. There's people like that near the road where you live. Listen, when we go down the road, y'all, and you see somebody that's homeless, I mean, if you can't pick them up, at least stop and tell them that there's a God in heaven that loves them. They're going to die without God, and churches don't seem to care. Listen, look, let's talk here for a second. You know that the devil will do anything he can to knock you out of church. Who are we trying to kid here? We all been to church long enough to know the devil will do anything, use anything. He'll tell you every problem in the world. You ain't got gas, you can't afford it, you're too tired. But listen, brother, we are in a battle for the souls of men and women and boys and girls. And God help us if we don't get the job done God's given us to do. Some never do anything. Number two, some do it for a while. A year or two. I'll teach class for a while, preacher, and then you got to get somebody else. I'll work a bus route for a little while. My time's up. Let somebody else. I've heard it over and over and over. Let some of these younger ones do it like that. That'd be a good idea if some of you older ones would set the example and be a bus worker if you can. It sure would. It'd be a good idea. Listen, we had a crowd out here yesterday. We went out, we visited, we talked to people, and I just named you 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't know how many kids that lady had with her, but there's about 5 people that I know of here this morning. And we had 300 people here this morning, and God bless. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it pays to be a worker in God's church. You know what I've noticed for a lot of times people come in, "Boy, glory to God, hallelujah, I'm ready to go, preacher, I'm ready," and just fizzle out. Usually when they come in fast, They leave fast. There are a lot of them like a bottle rocket. That's it. And you know what? I've seen them do. I've seen them come in. I've seen people a lot of times. I've learned and I can read people a lot better than I used to when I was young. I used to somebody to come in. And they'd come in with a Bible and sit on the front row and say, "Glory to God, I never heard such preaching in my life, man. You're the best. Hallelujah. Buddy, I'm there." I thought, man, sure is a blessing to have you around. And a month has gone. You, some people, you know why? Because they go off emotion. Or off inspiration. Now let me tell you bus workers something. And you that should be bus workers. It's wonderful to have bus inspiration. But we don't work because we're inspired. We don't work off inspiration. We work off obligation. We have a command from the King to go in the highways and hedges. That's why we can have a big day and a big push and I can preach a big message and everything. You say, "Boy, I'm excited. I want to go visit." That's inspiration. Inspiration wires off. Real quick. I preached on Sunday night. We all ought to go soul winning and have people on Sunday night saying, "Glory to God, I'll be here." And by Saturday, it's wore off. Before they even go. We don't go because of inspiration. We go because of obligation. If I'm sitting here and the house is on fire, I don't say, "Well, I'm not inspired. Stir me up, preacher. Tell me about a good story about some fireman that saved somebody's life and got on TV." And it don't matter if I'm inspired or not. I'm obligated to put that fire out. I don't always preach because of inspiration. Now, I'll be honest with you. Here's the way it is, preacher. I've had people ask me, a lady asked me one time, she said, "Brother Danny, don't take this wrong and everything." She said, "But how do you preach?" I said, I don't understand that question. She said, "How do you just get up there and preach?" I said, "Honestly, I don't understand." She said, "I don't understand how you can just get up there and just say a bunch of stuff and not get all and stay on track and keep your thoughts straight and everything." I said, "You know, I never really thought about that. I don't know. I don't know how to do that. I don't know. I mean, I pray and I study and I try, and it's just like anything else. I learned how to preach listening to preachers preach." Listen to those that get the job done. If you want to know how to grow corn, watch a man plant corn and go. You don't study and then get this out of a book. You learn how to preach watching other men and hearing other men preach. I figured when I first got saved, I want to hear the best preacher they are, and I'm going to try to do like them. And I got some help and encouragement and all of them. And I don't always feel inspired. There's a lot of Sunday mornings I don't feel inspired, but I feel obligated. Amen. Y'all get the difference? I don't always feel inspired. There's a lot of times I don't feel inspired. The other week when I was preaching down in Gastonia, them first three, man, I got sick and I don't ever get sick. That's the first time I've been sick in 15 years. And them first three nights, I was not inspired. It was hot and I had to turn the heater on. I was freezing to death, shaking, going down through there. I was shaking and I was sweating and shaking and sweating and shaking. I didn't feel a bit of inspiration. I was inspired to lay down and cover my head up and die. That's what I was inspired to do. But I was obligated. I had an obligation. I said, "The Lord called. The Lord opened the door. I've got to get the job done that God called me to do." And I feel the same way about them buses, y'all. I feel the same way. Those little boys and girls, we had a decent crowd on the buses today, being it's a holiday weekend. Thank God them kids got into the sound of the gospel. Thank God they got to hear Brother Reggie. We don't realize. Wake up, people. Wake up. Don't let the devil knock you out. Don't let the devil knock you out. Don't let the devil knock you out of this church. Don't let the devil knock you out of the bus ministry. Don't do it. There are souls at stake, and we've got a job we're obligated to do. We're going to have a big day of visitation on the 7th. That'd be a good time for y'all to do it. Some stay on fire for a while and just quit. But then there's others that just stick in there from now on. I know people that's been in the bus ministry 35 and 40 years. I'm one of them. I've been in the bus ministry since 1980. Amen. I believe in it. You say, "Brother Danny, you can paint the buses, clean the buses, work on the buses, buy snacks for the buses, help them, help Kim and them." You know why they're not here tonight? No money for gas. None. I was going to give them some this morning. Didn't have no money on me. And I'm going to tell you something, brother. Help them out. Help them out. Be a blessing. Put some money in there for souls and for the glory of God. Don't let the devil get you yakking over here. You know, a lot of people would be a whole lot better off if they just shut their ears off. Because you start talking to people that talk negative, then you start thinking negative. Well, the Lord wants you. The Lord wants you as a star in His crown, finally, and I'm done. In that day when I make up my jewels, that's what He said. You know something? He'll have you as a thorn. I hope you ain't a thorn in His crown. He'll be a jewel in His crown. A thorn in His flesh, I reckon. Let me tell you something, ladies, all you housewives, men that go to work every day, to work at things you love for those you love is to turn work into fun and duty into pleasure. One more time. To work at things you love, doing it for those you love. Like if you clean your house for your family, for your husband, don't worry about it. See, you know, mess up the house, now I have to clean it up. If you're doing that for those you love, that turns duty into pleasure and work into joy. Like when I preach, I mean, I'm sweating right now. I'm sweating. I was this morning. This is work. If you don't think it is, try it sometime. I'm going to tell you something. That's one reason why I run. I've heard preachers preach not half as hard as I have tonight. You know, like about to die. I mean, it's work. It's work jumping around, and it's a whole lot more work screaming while you're jumping around. And I remember thinking, if I do this because I love y'all, it turns it into pleasure and joy. When you're in the wrong place, that means the right place is empty. When you're in the wrong place, the right place is empty. You need to be in your place. Benjamin Franklin said, work like you'll live to be 100. Pray like you'll die tomorrow. And we've all heard that. I'll never forget hearing that story of that preacher. I've told it many times. And he said he was going down the road. And it's somewhere down there where Mobile, Alabama, down near the Florida line, near Pensacola area down there. He said he was driving down the road and there's an old dirt road went down through there and there's a river down there and there's a bunch of teenage boys down there partying, drinking, had some pickup trucks and they was drinking beer and partying. And he said he drove by there like that and he looked and he said, the Lord said, you need to go down there and witness to them. And he done like we do a lot of times. You ever had the Lord tell you to witness and, you know, they're drinking and I know where them boys live. I'll go see them later. I'm busy. I need to get home right now. Usually that first voice is from the Lord, and then here comes 15 reasons why you shouldn't do it. Usually the Lord tells you to do something, and then the devil pop jumps in on you. Oh, no. They'll think you're crazy. They'll think you're a fanatic, and you don't want to offend them, and this is no time and no place. Well, he didn't do it, and he went home. And he said he stayed at home 30 minutes, and the phone rang, and somebody was screaming, preacher, can you come? Preacher, can you come on up here? And he got in his car, and he drove back up there. And he said, well, so before he got up there, he could see ambulance and lights and police cars and EMS workers and around. And out in the road was a body, dead body, covered up with a sheet. And them boys got down there drinking that beer, and they said, let's go race these pickup trucks. And they got up on the road, and the elderly lady just come out to get the mail, just crossed the street. The old dirt road there to get the mail. They run over that one and kill them. They're sitting over here bawling their eyes out, and these boys are crying, and the police talking to them, and they'd be charged with manslaughter and murder. And the preacher said, if I'd have went down there 30 minutes ago, this might have never happened. Now, I'm not saying, I don't know how all that works. I don't know how all the God's sovereignty and His Spirit leads and stuff like that, but I know one thing. I don't want my neighbor's blood on my hands. You say, well, I don't want them to think I'm crazy. Well, I don't want the Lord looking at me one day and my neighbor's blood dripping off my hands. I've been thinking lately about going down Hoppetown, my road. Again, some people move in, move out, and just knocking on every door. Just saying, y'all know there's God in heaven. I'm going to have Sean to print us up some special flyers. And it's going to say special video presentation. It's a perfect thing. Look, can we give y'all one of these? We'd love to have you come to our church. Anybody can do that. The Lord needs you. The Lord needs you. Amen. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Let's stand with our heads bowed tonight. They're coming to get a song tonight. Every head bowed. Maybe you say, preacher, I wanna work. I wanna do something for Jesus. Let's just slip out of our seat tonight, get down here in this altar. Amen. Come on, boys. Young men, mamas and daddies. Let's get in the altar tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, do what ought to be done right now. Oh God, please.